Speaking the truth to the state capitol, this is Drive Time Lincoln with the commander, Jack Riggins, on the voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, Thursday, April 6th, 2023. I'm your host, Jack Riggins, restoring American values, bringing common sense, I hope, to the capital city. Johnny Cadillac, executive producing the show. You can stand at ease now, Johnny. I was supposed to have some missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints on today, and maybe they're just out busy doing their mission and didn't make it. I didn't really follow up on text. But there's always things to cover, and given the way the schedule broke down with Brian Blade from the Midwest Wrestling Association, we didn't really get a chance after the primary to talk about and give you a chance to talk about thoughts in the primary with these local elections. So let's do that. I'll do filler, but Rick Stein Recognition Hotline 402-479-1400, and the text line is open. Who do you like? Why do you like them? Who don't you like? Why wouldn't you vote for them? I don't care, folks, if it's the mayor's race, a city council race, as you know, new numbers came in, and I think they're really interesting. We'll go through those. You know, a school board race, airport authority. Let me know. I'd love to know what you think. You often get to hear what I think about things, but I'm really curious. And, I think it's good if you're able to express why you support a candidate, you know, or don't support another one, because there's probably a lot of other people out there that, you know, think the same way as you do. And in this kind of politically divisive time at all levels, sometimes I think we're afraid to, you know, outwardly say why, if you will. You know, maybe it's the actual person and how they present and their values. Maybe it's the values of the party they represent. You know, maybe it's something else. Who knows, folks? Who knows? But happy to hear what you think if you want to call in on that. I think we would enjoy that, Johnny and I, that's for sure. Text line two as well.
Just go ahead and call it Talkative Thursday.
Yeah, for now, yeah. Okay, Jeremy on the text line. Appreciate you texting in. Can you tell us the total number of Republican votes versus Democrat votes were in the mayor's race? I sure can. Actually, there's a great article that's been updated on KLIN.com titled Lincoln City Primary Results. So after they've counted, I think, now everything, basically, of all the votes cast, the incumbent, Larry Gaylord Baird, Democrat, received 50% of those votes for a total of 28,838. Suzanne Geist, a Republican, gained 33% of the votes, which was 19,138. And Stan Parker, Republican, had 17% of the vote with 9,945. So, if you're really crunchy number hard, the percentages, right, now that you only have two choices, Larry and Gaylord Baird and Suzanne Geist, and you would assume that a majority of Stan Parker's Republican supporters will move over to support Geist, you have a really, really close mayor's race next month. Okay. So again, the incumbent mayor, 28-8, we'll call it K, shorthand. We've got to use shorthand on radio just like we would if we were texting. And by quick math, you've got right at just over 28 for the Republicans. So, yeah, there's about 800 votes different, 700 votes different in this primary. You know, Republican slash Democrat, again, I think it would be wise to place, you know, at this point, Stan Parker's votes into the Geist camp. And what I take away from the primary in the mayor's race, Jeremy, is that that is a very, very, very tight race. Now, 30%, I think it was actually only 29%, maybe 30% of us voted here, registered voters in Lincoln, Lancaster County. So, you know, I mean, depending on what the turnout is, there could be, you know, 10,000, 20,000 gap either way, depending on vote turnout. But historically speaking, the numbers that we saw in the primary will certainly go up because more people are going to vote. But I think it would be very accurate to say that, you know, the mayor's race at this point is neck and neck. And I'm sure that, obviously, I'm more educated on the conservative Republican dynamics than I am the Democrats. I mean, I would just say that I would think, you know, given the state of the state, generally more conservative than not. Given what's going on in the legislature, where most people would say that conservatives are getting wins, that's not to say that Democrats aren't. It's just to say that, you know, most of the the bills, laws, bills, you know, that are moving through in a general file and the fights we've seen over them, you know, lean in a conservative favor. Hence, you know, why it's upsetting quite a few Democratic people. And so my point is, democratically, yeah, I think they'll throw the kitchen sink at the mayor's race to retain a Democrat in the mayor's seat in Lincoln, Nebraska. Not just because it's Larry and Gaylord Baird and she runs her campaign and, you know, we have a history of her leadership in this city, but because of the greater state dynamic as well. That would be from a state regional perspective, a huge, huge loss to the Democrats if Suzanne Geist was able to take the mayor's seat. So I think they will really throw everything they've got at it. On the Republican side, I mean, it's been no secret with the party, you know, having more of a grassroots effort that used the constitutional process to vote out, you know, what is mostly incumbent GOP, very establishment, been around the Republican Party for years type people. And while that's given at a state level, you know, people a bigger voice, it certainly has emboldened some senators. And I think why you're seeing some of this legislation, there still is a rift in the Republican Party statewide, no doubt about it. And I mean, it, you know, you don't have to have any kind of deep analysis to say that while everyone's conservatives, and I think that most people would say in the conservative party, we agree with each other's policies and outlooks, right? Like, I like your stance on this and I like what you're trying to do here. There has been big disagreement on how we as Republicans go about that. And I think that that is also in Lincoln. The difference is that, you know, in Lincoln, you know, we have a real history with the mayor and we live here with city council and county commissioners and everything kind of at this moment being heavily Democrat. I think there's a much better chance of unification on a single issue like a mayor's race or like a city council's race, that can galvanize the party, you know, for the greater good of the conservative values, if you will. So, you know, that's kind of where I see that going. Jeremy, as well, you've asked how many more voters will show up in the general election. I wish I had that boom right here. You know, Bud Seinhorst over at Lincoln Independent Business Association, one of the best people I go to for numbers. He's really good with tracking the numbers, and we're going to have him on the show here either next week or the following. And he will have all of that. You know, if we're going to say that there was about, 56,000 showed up, I want to say we can expect at least double that. Now, I am seriously guessing because I don't have the numbers in front of me. But, you know, I would expect us to have at least double the numbers show up for this race and this election, this general in May. Again, I think that it has become news. I mean, from the riots, you know, to different ways we feel about national policies, you know, woke, BLM, you know, transgender issues. I mean, these issues are always in front of us nationally. And, you know, we see in Lincoln following that, and there are those issues here as well. And then we also see, you know, kind of the, you know, grassroots movement of the Republican Party in that same time period, right? I mean, you know, it's not like the Republicans have just been like, oh, gee, you know, golly, everything's great. I mean, you know, they've been internally fighting tooth and nail for direction on the party. And I don't think that that's completely balanced out yet. So that plays into all these elections and to the support and the way people campaign and maybe even kind of the backroom politics that goes on and decisions that need to be made as dominoes fall. And speaking of that, and Johnny, I see you on the line. I'll get to you in a second. You know, if you think for a minute that Senator Geist, you know, just, well, I won the primary, you know, I'm going to resign. If you think that hadn't been thought through, I mean, you would be wrong, right? I mean, you just don't make that as a snap decision, and that's neither good nor bad. I mean, she wants to focus on this mayor's race because it's important to her. It's important to her constituents as conservatives. Conservatives want to change some of the direction of Lincoln. There's no doubt about it. And so there's many people involved in these decisions and kind of the back room and how to get things done. And having said that, I mean, today Governor Pillen appointed Carolyn Bossen, a stay-at-home mom who also has a nice history in the county attorney's office here in Lancaster County, and she's going to fulfill the remainder of Suzanne Geist's two-year term as a District 25 representative. She'll begin next Tuesday. And as you know, there's a lot of votes still to be made in the legislature. So, you know, that stuff is done with planning, you know, and that's fine. So it's going to be real interesting, no doubt about it. Johnny, what do you got for us before we go to break?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You made my point. Planning. This is all Pete Ricketts planning. You see, I don't care about the mayor's lake house or anything like that. And I've seen Suzanne's, all her billboards all around town. Kind of gave me a creepy fascist cult vibe. All right, listen, all this money's coming from Pete Ricketts. He knows how this is going to play.
Well, first of all, I'm not discounting your point. He's certainly very influential, but there have already been campaign finance pulled, and there's other Lincolnites and people that are supporting Suzanne Geist who have, you know, the means.
Sure, and that's the other thing. You know, she's like a really good mentor to Billy Slama, right?
I don't know that, but
so her and Julie Slama. All right. Okay, I'm just saying that's where I was going with my point. Pete Ricketts is playing this. That's my theory.
Okay, all right, fair. I'll comment on it when I come back. Appreciate the call, Johnny. All right, let's take a break. 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, good news, folks. I do have the fellows from the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints in. I think I'm going crazy. That's what I think it is. But they made it. We'll have them on here second segment. Let me finish up a little bit on Johnny and politics. Real quick, if you haven't been paying attention, Governor Pillen appointed Carolyn Bossen to fill Senator Suzanne Geis' seat. Suzanne Geis, obviously, lead mayor candidate on the conservative side, is going to focus on that for the next month. We talked about how competitive that race is. Just so you know, Bossen was born and raised in Columbus. She has been an adjunct professor at the University of Nebraska College of Law. And prior to that, she was deputy county attorney right here in Lancaster County. So, I mean, she's got some public service, without a doubt. Married and has some beautiful young children. And I suspect, even in her first presser here, she says she believes that life begins at conception, and she stands behind Senator Geis. So, for those of you thinking voting may or may not be different, I don't think it will be. I mean, she talks about, law enforcement, community safety, protecting families, reducing taxes. I mean, it's very much a conservative tagline. So I suspect her voting will flow right along with what the other conservatives in our legislature are doing. Johnny, listen, you can't discount that former governor, now Senator Ricketts, has influence because of his financial means and passion for conservative values. I think it's sometimes a very liberal argument to just say, oh, it's all his plan, like the king. Listen, he's not the king. His party got taken over by the people. Okay. Is he influential? Yes. Are there things everyone needs him for? Yes. But he's not the king. 1499.3 KLIN.
Drive Time Lincoln with the commander, Jack Riggins, on the voice of Lincoln, 1499.3. KLIN.
All right, folks, April 6th here, Thursday. I didn't do the weather. It's 59. Feels like 59. That means spring's almost here. But by God, in Nebraska, we've got to have the wind. We always have to have the wind. Anyway, it looks like next week as well, it's going to start really feeling like spring. Johnny, just real quick. You know, when I say Pete Ricketts isn't the king, my point is this. Pete Ricketts is a former governor in good standing as a conservative, a senator as a conservative. We all know, has had success and therefore has money and chooses to use it in politics. That is all very common. I may differ with how he chooses to use some of it, certainly not all of it. I can't really find too many differences in conservative beliefs, and I don't think many conservatives will. But I think when people of the other political persuasion, immediately go there, it's just a silly attack ad, so to speak, because we could all do that across the line of modern day American politics with money, right? If I wanted to start digging into who all the Democratic donors are, and frankly, the Democrats do a better job of hiding it. It is what it is. They do a much better job of hiding donations and, having 700 501Cs that are supposed to be doing one great thing. But in the end, they're funneling money to candidates or giving candidates a free job until they can run for another office. And that's okay. That's part of the game plan. But in the end of the day, Pete Ricketts has done a lot of good things for Nebraskans. You might not agree with him politically, but is he this all-powerful person that is guiding the mayoral election in Lincoln, Nebraska? No, he's not. He's donated some money. Sure, I've donated some money. I mean, so I guess you could throw me in that, bucket as well. But it's just tell me about your candidate and why you like your candidate or the policies, right? Sling in the mud. It just, some of it sticks, some of it doesn't. All right. The Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. Fellas, welcome to Drive Time Lincoln. Who wants to go first? You can all talk at the same time. First of all, let me introduce. We've got Elder Van Skyhawk, Elder Allen, and Elder Peterson. I even had to ask, wait a minute, Elder is not all your first names. Elder is like a title, like Mister. And you said...
Yeah, Elder is a title that we get when we become missionaries for 2 years. And we lose the title when we go back home and are with our families and stuff.
So it's a part of the process, obviously, as you mature and serve your church. And I think most Americans are very familiar with, this church, the young folks go out on a mission. And I was going to say it was a year, but is it traditionally 2 years?
Yeah. So for the men, it's 2 years. And for the women who want to serve, it's 18 months.
Okay. And so you get kind of a working title, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. I appreciate you guys coming in. This all started because I got off the radio and the fellows were out doing their service in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And, hey, I know who they are, at least. And I was like, hey, come on over here, you know, and let's talk. And so we were talking about some of the differences in world religions, all of them, because as you know, in my time in the Navy, that was a big deal, studying a lot of different religions and dealing with a lot of different people. And I found way more commonalities than differences in that. And then I thought to myself, geez, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a big part of America, yet it's probably the one most of us don't necessarily know the most about, so to speak, and hence why you guys are out on a mission, not just in America, but you do it worldwide as well.
It's true, yeah. So we submit an application, and you can go anywhere in the world. Actually, Elder Allen, he's going to... You go ahead.
Where are you going, Elder Allen?
Melbourne, Australia.
Holy cow.
I just got set apart as a missionary here. I'm from Lincoln. I just graduated a semester early here from Lincoln East High School.
Okay.
So, yeah, put in my application. I don't get a say in where I'm going or what language I speak, but I got Melbourne, Australia. So I'm doing a home MTC, so home missionary training right now. Today's my P day, so kind of like a free day. You get one.
There you go.
And so I'm rolling with the missionaries from my... you know, my area right now, and just learning, having a blast. So,
I'll be dang, you got a good deal. I've been to Australia, Melbourne. You're going to enjoy that. No, yeah, I mean, listen, it's kind of like joining the military. You just serve where you're going to serve, right? Yeah,
that's right.
And you know, you'll be better for the experience. Tell me one of the things that, at first glance, I think certainly most Christians over here in America see a lot of similarities with the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. But there is basically a difference in the beginning, right? Yeah. There is a huge difference, and I may get this wrong, so correct me, but in kind of what we would say are prophets and where the word came down and how, you know, it starts.
Yeah.
In the case, right? Am I right there?
Yeah. Similar.
Well, tell me that side of it and kind of how that fits in to your church.
Absolutely. So we believe that God is our Heavenly Father.
Uh-huh. Me as well.
And that Jesus Christ is His Son. And as we are His kids, you know, He loves us and He wants to bless our lives. And so He puts us down here on this earth to be with our families and to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we believe this gospel is a set of principles and the things God wants us to live our lives by, in order to make it back to Him one day. And it has blessed my life immensely, and that's why I'm out on a mission to share it with other people.
Yeah.
And I know it can bless families as well. And so the way He disperses that gospel is through men called prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little difference between prophets and what people believe. What makes a prophet to us is someone who is called of God and given what we call the priesthood. It's the power and authority to act in God's name. So men like Moses, mm-hmm. men like Noah, Abraham, Jeremiah, all those guys in the Bible who wrote segments of the Bible, mm-hmm. they were prophets. And they're given that authority by God to share His gospel. And the reason He does it in that way is so that the gospel, it can stay true to form, rather than having all these different opinions of people coming out and saying, well, I think this.
You're kind of watering it down.
Exactly. And so these prophets, they help check and balance what's being taught. And they call people to repentance and have them have faith in Jesus Christ. And when people don't listen to these prophets, they push them away. And we can see over and over again in the Bible this pattern where God calls a prophet and then they kick him out. Mm-hmm. And then God calls another prophet and then He kicks him out all the way up until Jesus Christ is on the earth.
Yeah, and you know, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, He did a lot of good things. He healed people. He did all these crazy things.
Miracles, we would say.
Miracles.
Crazy things.
Crazy things.
No, that's a good modern description, though. I mean, that's true. They're miracles, but they are crazy things.
Yeah, and another thing that we, especially Easter coming up, is He performed the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He died for us, and He took on all of our sins so that we could make a Heavenly Father again. And He also rose the third day. Just what Easter is about.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because we are in the season of Easter, if you will, or Lent, and, you know, there you go. I think, you know, if you, anyone, no matter, certainly, you know, Christian religion, you know, we all have that similar belief of God the Father, Jesus, prophets. It differs a little bit, but there is a very core thing around Jesus and his story and miracles. And if anybody can just pause and think about the sacrifice of somebody for your sins, all of us. And when I consult or I talk, especially with young people or maybe back in the day in the military, I always used to say, like, we as a species can be so hard on ourselves. But in fact, one of the things we know for certain is we're going to sin. Yeah. We don't want to, right? And we try our best not to, right? To live a good life. But in fact, Jesus has already died for our sins. And yet, the way to heaven, the way to the afterlife, if you will, different religion there, but is, you know, repenting. Yeah. And setting that up. And it's just a very powerful thing. And I think needed in this world. Yeah. And it's interesting. And one of the things is in your church, what, like, cause I'm Catholic. So one of your prophet that started mm-hmm. your church,
yeah.
right. Is just that. Tell me about that, because that's the beginning of, I'm going to say, your movement, right?
Okay, yeah.
Where it's sad as a Catholic, raised Catholic, went to Catholic schools my whole life, even have been to Rome and seen no all the way. Statues and all of that.
That is cool.
You still, and of course my priest is going to want to slap me right now. in Roman Catholicism, you know, it's very interesting. You're like, well, wait, who exactly? No, I know who started our church, right? Peter and Paul. But mm-hmm. I mean, it can get watered down over time,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah,
you know, but yours is very clear
yeah,
to you, you know.
Yeah. So the other thing that Jesus did when he was on the earth, besides the atonement, which, you know, the most important thing is obviously the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that he did is he set up his church, right, just like you said. And but once he was crucified and everybody died,
mm-hmm.
all of his apostles that were given that same priesthood power that right. Brother Peterson talked about, everyone died, and that priesthood power was lost from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So that same repetition of before, where it's like a prophet and mm-hmm. then the people fall away from God and then another right. prophet, we see that again.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a boy in the year 1820, and his name's Joseph Smith.
Right.
And he had a question because he saw all these churches that were teaching from the Bible. And they're teaching about God, but he thought maybe God wants us to live in one certain way. He doesn't want some of his family to go to hell and some of his family go to heaven for being baptized in certain churches.
Right.
So he thought, well, he read this scripture. It was James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit him, struck him to the core, and he decided to ask God which church to join.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to a forest behind his house, and he had a very sacred experience that we like to like quote him because of how sacred
sure,
it was.
Sure.
And as we quote him, we want to invite everybody to focus on how they feel, because we know that the spirit will testify of the truthfulness of what we're saying by the fruits of the Spirit, like in Galatians 5.
Mm-hmm.
But
and from there, he walks away from that experience, which is very similar to Noah, to Abraham, and we go down the line,
yeah.
And says, okay, I have a clear vision because I've spoken with God.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, starts the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. I mean, that's
right.
where it begins, right?
And so once he comes out of that experience where we believe he saw God and mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, we believe they had to help him to restore that church. And so we believe that it's not necessarily a reformation like many of the other churches around,
mm-hmm.
but it was an attempt to restore that church that had been lost, that same primitive church.
Yeah.
And so they gave him an ancient book of scripture, which is the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ, to help kind of clear up those things that a lot of people had doubts about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been a missionary for almost 18 months now, and a lot of people differ on points of doctrine, such as
sure.
the mode of baptism, you know, whether grace is sufficient for us to make it to heaven or things like that. And the Book of Mormon, we believe, is a record of the ancient Americans from thousands and thousands of years ago who also struggled in keeping the commandments of God. There were prophets called in this land as well as in the land of Jerusalem in order to preach God's word, because God, he loves everyone the same. Doesn't matter if you're from Egypt, from Africa, from America, we're all the same to him. So this book helps us understand.
That is a very true statement right there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we teach people, is that it doesn't matter who we are. You know, he loves me just like he loves you. And this book, it doesn't demonize other churches. Other churches do so much good. If we didn't have other churches, this world would be a terrible place. It would be awful.
It'd be a lot more scary, that's for sure.
Yeah. So this book is given to us to help us understand more about Jesus Christ. We call it another testament because we view it as a companion to the Bible.
Sure, sure.
Rather than, you know, tearing the Bible down and or trumping the Bible, it helps give us more understanding.
Yeah.
And I love to read this book in conjunction with the Bible because it helps so many things that were murky become clear.
Yeah, and I've gotten through... based on your guidance, if you will, first 20 pages or so, just trying to understand. I mean, when you're coming from a different, I'm like, let's learn this. I figured, you know, if I've read the Quran and I've studied some Far Eastern religions, I was like, why don't I know anything about this? And I think that one, you bring up a really interesting point, which is A, you said it right there. God, if you will, loves everybody. We're equal, wants the best. You know, Jesus came here and died for our sins and atonement. And you bring up a point of, you know, a new prophet. And it is an interesting from the people that debate these things to a degree is like, yeah, why over like, you know, the first 4,000 years of written history was there all that? And then it's just like, it stopped, right? Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but it absolutely makes sense. And you have a belief. And I appreciate you sharing. One of the things when we come back, or I want to just individually ask, is as you go through your mission, right, what have you learned, or what, in your case, what are you hoping to learn as you go to Australia? Like, how has it helped you develop as a human being and your spirituality in total? All right, folks, 1400-993-KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1400 and 99.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints missionaries here. We have three. One of the things as we finish up, I want to know, you know, in your mission, what have you learned? How has it affected you? And, you know, or what are you hoping to learn? You know?
All right. Yeah. So I won't go too in depth, but just this last year in March, my brother died in a car accident, and just coming out on a mission, you know, I feel like I've gotten a lot closer to God, and Jesus Christ especially has just, I think there's a special healing power that Jesus has, and just becoming closer to him and helping people come closer to him brings a lot of peace.
And yeah, so you've grown in your spirituality, and it's brought you peace in the death of your brother, and I'm sorry to hear about that.
That's okay, yeah.
But I'm sure he's in a good place.
Yeah. That's another thing, is just what we believe about the plan that God has for everyone. It's really helped me.
Yeah, and it's helped me tremendously in service to our country, too. I hear you. Oh, newbie.
Yep, I'm the newbie.
Elder Allen.
Yeah, so I'm, like I said, going to Melbourne, Australia, and I'm just the most excited to invite others to come into Christ. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ has given me so much strength and peace and guidance, and I just want everyone to hear it and everyone to have the opportunity to come closer to God. And, you know, these guys, we're just kids, but we're choosing to leave our families for 2 years without coming back. You know, I've got little brothers I'm going to miss, but I'm doing this because I know the church is true. I know that the Book of Mormon is true. And, you know, I just have so much
love. So spread the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it. No, it's a good thing.
Yeah. And being a missionary, we get to talk to so many people, and their faith in Christ is remarkable. And just being able to see them love other people and come to know that there's so much more out there than anything else is amazing.
Guys, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. And best of luck and continue to grow, you know, spiritually and spread the word. 1400-993-KLIN.